Amen. All right. Well, we're hitting a new series that we're going to hit for 3 weeks here, and it's The Unseen World. And so, as you can see, we've got our unseen world here. And but as we look at the unseen world, I really want to look at the spiritual battle with a focus on prayer. Really, you know, doing battle and coming into the unseen world, coming into the spiritual world that's before us, and coming in prayer. And I tell you, I need a little prayer this week. I believe it was Thursday morning. I was going from one meeting to the next meeting, and I just got the stomach flu that went around. And it did not get pretty there for a while, and had to excuse myself and go home. And for about 24 hours, I was really out. It's interesting when you're really, really sick, you have quite a bit of time with the Lord. when you're really, really feeling lousy and in pain, it's amazing how well acquainted you get in that time with God. And oh, Lord, please. I spent quite a bit of time just really thinking about how it would be really great if I felt different. But I tell you, you know, the spiritual battle that and how we approach God can be a challenge, because I remember when I was young and growing up, after I'd come to the Lord, I was probably 15 years old. I'd been about a believer about a year, and we were praying for somebody whose life was at risk. And I remember thinking, they asked me to pray, and I remember thinking, please don't ask me to pray. And that scripture kept going through my mind. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I was thinking about my sin that week. And I was thinking about all the struggles that I'd had. And I was fearful, because I was thinking, I don't want to be the one to pray for this person's life, their physical life. And here we are in a group. And I was thinking, man, I'm not worthy to pray that prayer. If I look at the last few days of my life, and I remember saying something and a little something, and I prayed and I just felt awful about it. A while later, I was talking to Tom Shaw, one of my mentors back then, about the situation, and he was asking questions like, "Well, you were kind of interesting when you were praying. You looked completely defeated in prayer." And I shared with him, I was scared that they called on me to pray, because I felt like I wasn't worthy. I wasn't the one. And he said, "Matthew," he goes, "it's not your righteousness that you stand in." And it really touched me. He said, It's the righteousness of Christ. And you're a child of God now. You're His beloved. You belong to Him. And He sees you as righteous because of what He's done. And I remember thinking, man, that's kind of the heart set as we come together, man, having the right understanding of the Word of God, having the right understanding of what prayer is, of how we connect with God, of the spiritual battle that we're in, and that the will of God is not dependent upon our shoulders. Guys, we weren't meant to carry that weight. And if we try to carry it, guess what's going to happen? We're going to get exhausted and beat up, and we're going to feel undone. We're going to just feel just awful. And it's amazing that the enemy can get in with something as beautiful as prayer and bring in defeat for the believer. And I know I'm not alone in this. I've had a number of conversations with many of you, and it's something that we struggle with because we struggle with our identity in Christ. And so as we look to how we come before God, I want to just encourage you, you don't need to live in fear in any way as you approach the throne. We as believers, we have nothing to fear as we come to God in prayer. And even with those big things, with the people that are important to us, it's not our righteousness that we stand on. It's not our righteousness that we stand on. We're going to be looking at, as we look at the unseen world and spiritual warfare, we're going to be looking at today at 2 Corinthians 10 and the first five verses. And it starts by this. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. As one of the things that he's reminding the people, this is Paul, and he's getting ready to visit them. And they've been struggling. They've been struggling. It's a church in Corinth that they've been struggling with a number of things. One of the things that they've been struggling with is the purity in the church. There's a lot of junk in the church in Corinth. There's a lot of people living lives that don't go together with their faith. And he's talking to them, and he's getting them ready. And does anybody here think of Paul as somebody who's timid? When I picture Paul, I do not picture a timid man. I picture a zealous man. But it's interesting that often his writing would be big, and then people, the response after he would go through was, oh, okay. You know, that there was less, but the writing, and his writing, he's encouraging them about having their hearts and getting things right. And then he ends with this in verse 2, that he begs them to, that he won't have to be as bold as he expects to be towards some of the people who think that we live by the standards of this world. And if we don't live by the standards of this world, what standards do Christians live by? What's that? Worldly things? A what? Our own standard? Often that is it, isn't it? Often we live according to our own standard. And when Jesus came and he had some challenges for people, and as he challenged people to think differently about the standards of the world. And one of the scriptures that really comes to my mind is in Matthew 5, where he said that the people who he was speaking to, the Christians of the day, that their righteousness needed to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees. Think about that for a minute. He was saying those religious leaders, those people who you look to and who think of themselves as so godly and so right before God. And he's saying that you need to live a more righteous life than them. I don't have the scripture here, but Matthew 5:20 says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." You see, the standards of man are, it's about what I do. It's about being good. It's about doing things right, being appropriate, following the law, doing what's right. And God says no. The standards of this world say, do the actions on the outside. And Jesus said, but I call you to something more. And he went on in Matthew 5, and he said, you've heard it said long ago that you should not commit murder. But I tell you, if you have anger in your heart towards your brother, you are a murderer. See, the Lord's standards are different than man's standards. Man's standards, judged by what we do on the outside. God's standards are what? What's on the inside. What's happening in the heart and the mind? God wants our hearts. He doesn't want good behavior. Good behavior is not the goal. He wants more than that. Have you ever done the right thing and on the inside your heart was a mess? There's times where I've said the right thing and I'm glad the person across from me couldn't see into my mind. Because I was able to get far enough to say the right thing, but my heart was still angry. My heart, my emotions were still hurt. And I started justifying myself in my mind, and I was saying the right thing outwardly, but I was building my sense of worth in myself in the midst of the conversation. This is like two different people taking place. Lord, we pray for whatever the sirens are for. Bless the people. What standards do you live by? The reason I bring that up is because as we come to the Lord in prayer, we can fool people, but we can't fool God. Right? It's so true. We can't fool God, and yet we try, don't we? We say that it's amazing when you. I've had a conversation with somebody. And I know what they're feeling. They've just shared what they're feeling. And then we go to prayer, and it's very proper and appropriate. And there's been a few times where I've said, you know, you can just tell God, I'm upset. You can be real with God. You can be, because I mean, think about your best friendships. Think about marriage. Think about those relationships that are close. You're not fake with those people. Your best friend sees you and knows you for who you are, and yet they still love you most of the time. Or as I say, as being a father, I love my children all the time. I don't always like them, but I love them all the time. Right? I mean, God's able to handle it. He knows us. He loves us. He wants that intimacy with him. And it goes on in 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. First of all, what's being waged? War. War. And the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. So we're in a war. And what do you always have in a war? You have both your offense and your defense. It's kind of like football, right? It's we got the Seahawks coming up later today. Some people played hooky today, and they're thinking about others. Man, they didn't even need to skip because it's a 125 game. But there's offense, there's defense, there's things that we have, and we know from Ephesians 6 that there's the battle that we and we'll be going more on that later, but on other days, but man, we have weapons that we wage war with, and two of them are the Word of God and prayer. And I put them together because when we pray the Word of God, when we pray God's truth into situations, it brings truth into our reality. Because unfortunately, guys, when we experience something, we're experiencing it through our own brokenness, through our own broken expectation, through our disappointments. We're experiencing relationships that are hurting, and it's very easy for our truth to become truth. And here's what I want to put before us, is my truth is not truth. And what I mean by that is because of my experiences, because of my hurt, because of the emotion of the situation, how I see things that are happening right before me are not reality. We see this in marriage over and over, don't we? Where I've got an expectation of how my wife is going to handle a situation, and I'm excited, and I come in and I do my thing, and she responds completely differently than she was supposed to. And I'm annoyed. Why? Because I'm selfish. I'm self-focused. And I'm hurt. My expectations have been broken. And so now, there's a problem in this relationship, and it's not me. It's her. It's 100% her. I'm sure of it. I know it in my soul. I am without fault here. Just ask me. And so my truth can become truth to me, can become the truth that I'm hearing. And I'm not hearing what Julie's gone through earlier that day. I'm not hearing that her expectations were different. That when I said this, I thought it came across this way. But when I said it, it came across quite rude and self-focused. Because why? I was a bit rude and self-focused. And so the weapons, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Praise God. Because the world wages war with weapons that are meant to destroy and protect self. And we're called to love sacrificially. We're called to pray in a way that makes us dependent on God. Not God dependent on the next way we're asking him to turn for us. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. The weapons we fight with are prayer and prayer through his word. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Guys, think about that. When we are at battle, often there are other things at play. It is not just us. When I'm with my wife in that situation I was talking about before, it's not just the two of us. And it's not even just the two of us and God who's there and available and with us. There's another party that's there. Guys, the unseen world, the spiritual forces of darkness are real. And they are thriving, and the devil is scheming. And he is active, and he is prowling around like a lion, seeking who he can destroy, and looking for an opportunity to pounce, and lying and setting us up with, did you hear what she said? It's not what she said yesterday. She didn't even see what you did when you did the dishes. She didn't even appreciate it. You know, it's amazing. I always think it's, when I stand back and think about it, it's kind of funny. When I do the dishes, I love to hear my wife say, "Thank you, honey." When Julie does the dishes, I honestly don't notice that much. They just magically get clean. A lot of the things in my house magically get put away and cleaned up. How often have I said to Julie, "Hey, honey, the last 25 minutes that you just spent doing the dishes while I was playing with the kids and having fun, and didn't see it, but now they're magically, thank you. You see, we when we do it, we want to be recognized. And man, see, one of the problems is I'm an easy target for the enemy, because it's very easy for me to get self-focused. It's very easy for me to have my vision clouded by all that's around. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Guys, think about that. We take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. We don't have to allow our emotions to determine how we think and act. And how does that happen? It doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't happen accidentally. It happens through prayer. It happens through being intentional and praying and becoming dependent on God in the moment. And we don't become dependent on God in the moment if we don't pray to Him. If we don't say, God, I need your help here. Even in prayer, dealing with distraction. So often as we think of take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Have you ever gone to pray? It's sometimes, you know how when you're reading and then you think, what did I read for the last three paragraphs? You ever done that? Where you just, your mind started wandering. You were actually reading, but you have no idea what you just read, and you wasted all that time and effort and for naught. Man, it's similar in prayer, isn't it? It's similar. We need to, we're praying and we're trying to take every captive thought, and as we're praying, something comes in, a distraction of the day, right? Or maybe feeling guilty about something. And so what do we often do in prayer? And guys, this is something that I think it has brought new blessing to me in a way that I can't explain to you how wonderful this is. What I would do at those times is I would double down and try harder to get away from the distraction. I'm praying and then I start thinking about all the things that I have to do. And okay, now turn my back on the things I have to do. And now I'm going to be really spiritual and really pray. And the more I try, the worse it gets. And now I'm just frustrated. I'm not praying. I'm just angry. And it's like, oh my goodness, what is going on? But when we're praying and a thought comes into our mind, instead of suppressing the thought, we can consider the thought with God. If God's putting something that's distracting you from your work, bring that to God in prayer. Rather than trying to push that aside, I'm going to focus on what I'm going to... Maybe it's the Lord putting it on your heart. Maybe He's speaking and He's wanting you to listen in prayer. Prayer is not just talking, it's a conversation with God. And what happens in a conversation? So often, I'm you guys know I love to talk. Often in conversation, I talk. And I don't listen. Especially if I've got a lot on my mind and a lot that's deep and I'm thinking. But a conversation is about hearing what the other person's saying, taking it in, processing it, thinking about it, and responding to what you've heard and processed. And if you've got this distraction, maybe it's a distraction from the enemy, and you need to bring it so that what? So that every thought is taken captive and obedient to Christ. And so it's a distractive thought from the enemy. I'm going to bring it captive. God, I'm going to pray about this because it's distracting me. Because this has changed my prayer life. Or maybe it's not from the enemy. Maybe it's God saying, yeah, this is me talking. And it's really good that you're listening now, because I've got a lot to say to you. And you take it in and you process what God is saying and you pray through it and you're hearing from God. And now the thought is taken captive and made obedient to Christ. If the thought is something evil, we can bring up James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God, I'm having trouble with this thought. You know, I'm feeling guilty about this sin in my life. And I'm trying to talk to you about this, but this is just nagging me. I'm sorry about this sin. I blew it. I knew what was right, and I chose what was wrong. And the enemy is just beating me up right now with it. I'm feeling like a fake. I'm feeling like the hypocrite that I am. Take this junk from me. I need some help here in a big way. What happens in prayer life? Now the spiritual battle, now it's God doing it. Now it's us being dependent on his strength and not ours. Now we're not trying to stay away from the elephant in the room. We're acknowledging it and dealing with it. And making every thought captive to Christ. But what if you're praying and something such as work keeps popping up? Great time to pray about work. What if you're praying and thoughts about your family keep coming up, and situations with the kids or situations with the parent? I had a situation this week. I won't go into details, it was really a hard situation for me. I was really disappointed by an extended family member. And I said to a couple people as I was talking about it, I felt like I was 12 years old again. I felt like I was 12. It just, you know, sometimes when somebody from the extended family, and you just go back to your childhood and you just feel, man, I was so discouraged and disappointed, and I just felt like I was 12. And as I was praying about it before God, as I was going through it, I was just being open with God. I feel stupid, God. I thought I was past this with this person. And I shared it, and something happened. God not only answered my prayer, but he gave me a way to speak in a new answer. And he's saying, Matthew, you're feeling this way about the way somebody's making you feel. I'm going to give you an opportunity to treat somebody else differently than that. And I got to speak into my son's life in a special way. And it was like God was saying, do you hear what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm doing? You're focusing on the negative and how it affects you. And yet, as you've turned to me now, not only am I bringing healing to your heart, but now I'm giving you a vision of how you can be different to your son. How you can bring blessing in the exact same area. And it was literally as I was going through that hurt and I was driving from one thing and I got to be a blessing to my son. And it was just like God saying, I hear you. And as you brought that thought captive and as you were honest and open before me and we dealt with it, honest, not only do you feel better, but now it gets to be part of what I'm doing in those who come after you. It was better than just forgiveness. God redeems. He redeems even the junk. And it's beautiful. Amen. 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 So, what is it that God's putting on your heart and mind? What is it the enemy is trying to distract you with? In this unseen world, in this spiritual battle that's happening, in this time of prayer, let's bring that before God, right? I want to close with this scripture. It's 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Amen. Guys, it's God who does it. It's not us pumping up and getting ready and getting loose and getting ready. It's us becoming dependent on God. And when we become come to that place of brokenness before God and inclusive with him and bringing him into the intimate most details of what we're going through, of what we're praying through, and we share with him and we listen to his response. And then we act accordingly, and it's this ongoing conversation. He's faithful. I want to ask you this, guys. Do you trust God more than you trust you? Because that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? In prayer, it's like, God, this is a big one, so why don't you stay over here? That's inappropriate. Because I can't handle it like he can. Right? So if I trust God more than I trust me, I'm going to come to that place of depend. God, I need you on this one. I need you in a big way here. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. I don't know how to act. I'm being selfish, and I see that I'm being selfish. I don't know how, but I don't know how to get right on the right road again. So show me how. Give me your strength. Give me your eyes and ears to hear what this person is really saying. Maybe not with their words, but with their heart, where their heart is. Change me, God. And all of a sudden, something happens. Sometimes God changes the situation. But when I'm intimate and honest with God, he changes me. And that's the beautiful part. When I become dependent on God, he changes me from the inside out. And there's great blessing there, because a little bit more of me is dead. A little bit more of Christ is living in me. Where are you at in your life? Are you fighting in your own strength? What area are you fighting in your own strength? Bring God into the conversation through the truth of the Word of God. Be intimate with what's really going on. And in this unseen world, in this spiritual battle that's taking place, let's go to where our strength is. And that's the Lord in prayer through the truth of his word and dependence upon him. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for your word, Lord. I just pray as we really look at this spiritual battle and how it impacts the prayer life, Lord, I pray that we would not try and get away from the distractions or of the enemy or from the words that you were saying to us that we're not wanting to deal with, Lord, but we would face head on and when things come up, rather than trying harder to cover, we would bring you into the conversation. We would bring your truth and love and have a new direction and deal with these things before you and experience victory in prayer. Lord, you want us. You're the Father. We are the children. You love us so much. You want your children to be blessed and grow and enjoy and be happy and at peace. And you know that can't happen if we're in our own strength and in our own minds trying to do everything. So thank you, Lord, that you forgive us. And Lord, thank you that you redeem. You don't just forgive, but you bless and encourage. We desire to live for you this day, this week. Lord, show us how to do battle in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.